Amen. Okay, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. Children through third grade can meet our Children's Church workers in the back. The rest of us, let's go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll get there in just a minute or so. And I'm having some trouble here. There we go. We're good, Titus. We're good. Just took a minute to find it. Ephesians chapter 5. The group just sang about responding to the Word of God. We talked just a moment ago about being reminded of the basic things. Well, I don't know of anything more basic than the will of God. I repeatedly am asked the question, Pastor Chris, how do I know what the will of God is for my life? I mean, I'm trying to discern what God wants for me. I want to know, but I don't know. What is God's will for my life? And for the believer, you better be concerned about what God's will for your life is. In fact, it'd be pretty scary for a person to say, well, I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been bought by the blood of Christ, but I don't want to know what He has for my life. I think that that would fall into the category of, you know what? You better work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because the person who is genuinely born again is going to want to know what God wants him or her to do with his or her life. For the teenager, a teenager often comes to me and says, Pastor Chris, I just want to know what God wants me to do concerning college. I want to know what He has for me in the future. What decisions should I make? College students say, boy, I just want to know what God's will for me is concerning a job. I mean, an occupation. I am a social studies assistant curator of world religions major. I just made that up, if you couldn't tell. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do when I graduate. Whatever it is, there are those degrees out there where the person says, I don't know how I can use this. What does God want for me in the future? What am I going to do? What job am I going to have? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? Pastor Chris, I want to know God's will. Adults, would you pray for me? I'm trying to discern God's will about a career move. Would you pray for me? I don't know if God wants us to move to a different state. I've got a major purchase I need to make. I want to know what God's will is about that major purchase. And all of those are good and fine, and we should want to submit ourselves to the will of the Lord in those areas. But unfortunately, most of those things deal with something that is nothing that we will understand until it happens, and that is the future. I want to know what God has for me. I want to know what God wants me to do when I graduate. I want to know where I'm going to live. And we try to fortune tell. And we try to discern what the future is, and somehow we equate that in our minds to understanding the will of God. Other people view the will of God as some sort of scavenger hunt, where God has hidden His will, and it is your job, it is your responsibility to go out and find it. And I'm searching here and there, and I'm talking to people, and I'm looking in churches, and I'm attending classes, and I'm just trying to find God's will. It's almost like the game that you probably played as a little kid, where dad grabs an acorn and hides it. And you say, and he says, okay, go look for it. And he says, warm, 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 cold, cold, colder, coldest, freezing, hot, hot, hot. My dad used to play, when we'd go camping, he would find an acorn, and that was the game we would play as a little kid. Warm or cold, but you've done it around the house with your kids or with other people. And somehow we think that finding God's will is like that warm, cold game, where God's saying warmer, warmer, or you're getting warmer. Oh, you're cold, you're cold. You're freezing. Other people look for signs. Now, the Bible does say that a wicked and perverse generation looks for a sign. But people do, they look for signs. And so someone says, well, it's God's will for me to move to Arizona. And you say, okay, all right, well, it may be. How did you come to that decision? Well, it's really interesting. Okay, I bet it is. I opened a fortune cookie. I mean, it sounds strange. Yes. But I did. I opened a fortune cookie, and it said to me, warm is the climate where you shall live. Now, I didn't think anything of it when I first opened it. But I tucked it away in my pocket. And as I was driving to work, I saw a Sun Country billboard on the side of the road. And it had a picture of the deserts of Arizona. Now, you say, well, so you got a fortune cookie and a Sun Country billboard? Yeah. I also met a guy who bought an RV in Phoenix. And see, it all adds up. It all adds up. And besides that, I got a friend's cousin whose hairdresser read an article that said that Arizona is great for allergy sufferers. And I have hay fever. And so what people do is they take all of these signs and they say, God must want me to move to Arizona. And we laugh. But most likely there are people in this room who you say, yeah, I've heard that before. People make decisions based on signs saying, this is what God's will for my life is. God desires for us to know His will. He wants us to know it and rest assured in it. It is not something that He has hidden from us. It is not something that we have to go searching for. And it is not something that's going to be revealed to us in a fortune cookie or on a billboard. God's will is clearly revealed to us in His Word. You say, Pastor Chris, I already know this. Good. This is a basic teaching of the Word of God, but every single one of us has to be reminded of this because we are making decisions daily that affect what is going to be taking place in the future. God's will is much more about the present than it is the future. And that is so important for us to understand. You say, okay, so how do you know this will is not hidden from us, that He wants us to know His will? Let me have you look at a couple of passages of Scripture. First of all, Ephesians chapter 5, we're looking at verse 17 in particular here. In the middle of a wonderful passage of Scripture, one of my all-time favorites in Scripture, verse 17, therefore, he says, do not be unwise. In other words, if I tell you not to be unwise, I'm going to give you the ability to be wise. I'm going to help you make a wise choice here. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know what His will for our lives is. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, a very familiar passage. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the word prove there means to test, to be sure, and then to testify of. So it has been proven in my life, and then I'm going to tell others that you can know what God wants you to do with your life. Romans 12:2 says that we may prove the will of God. The principle that comes out of these two passages of Scripture is this, and it's something that I have said repeatedly, that God's commands assume His enablement. When He asks you to do something, and in this case, what is He asking you to do? Know the will of God. When He asks you to do something, He will give you everything you need to be able to accomplish that task. That's a great God. That's a God who doesn't want us out on a wild goose chase, on a scavenger hunt, trying to figure it all out. If he says, do it, he's going to give us the resources to be able to accomplish that task. And so this morning, what we want to do is we want to ask the question, what is the will of God for my life? And come back to some basics so that all of us are on the same page in discerning the will of God. Now, discernment is an interesting thing. What is discernment? Discernment is the ability to make a wise decision. The ability to make a wise decision. Now, hold on to that until we come to the end. And we're going to see what part discernment comes in the will of God towards the end of our time today. What is the will of God for your life? Well, the will of God begins with salvation. The will of God begins with salvation. The very first thing for us to know about God's will is that God wants people to be saved. You say, I know that. Okay. Then there's something that we need to be doing as people of God to put that into action and to be actually living out the will of God in our own lives. Now, God wants salvation is such a huge part of the will of God that he is actually holding off his judgment for that very reason. Notice what 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says. The Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some count slackness. Now, this is falling in the passage of scripture where Peter is recounting the promises made by God regarding the flood. Okay, he's referencing back to the flood, and he is reaffirming in the minds of his hearers, of his readers, that God will do what he said he will do. He first did it with the flood. He secondly is doing it by not sending another flood, but there is judgment for wickedness coming. However, he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word willing is an important word because it is a window to the heart of God. It shows us where his focus is. He wills for people to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires, who wills all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants people to be saved. It is God's will that men be saved. One preacher put it this way. He said, quote, if you are stumbling around in life and tossing up some periodic prayers to God, but have never come on your knees to the foot of the cross and met Jesus Christ, then you are not even in the beginning of God's will. God's will begins with salvation. He wants people to be saved. In other words, there is no reason for God to reveal anything other than salvation to the man or woman who is not saved. This is of primary importance. This is where it starts. In fact, Jesus makes it very clear. One second here. I think I just broke the remote. I'm very sorry about that. It's God's will. Just be ready in case it doesn't work. John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Jesus says this, and when he brings out his own sheep. No, just go back. Thank you. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The point is this, God is at work in the lives of people. His goal in the lives of people is for them to see their sin and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. To see themselves in unrighteousness, hear the voice of the Savior who wants to give them a new life of righteousness, and then follow Him. God's will begins with salvation. Those who are saved, these are the ones to whom the will of God is revealed, because these are the ones who will be in Scripture. These are the ones who will be understanding Scripture, and these are the ones who will be then following Scripture. You say, well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I'll tell you what the will of God is for your life, based on Scripture. The will of God for your life, first, is that you respond to the call of God for salvation, and then you go out and tell others about Him. You go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. See, someone can say to me, well, Pastor Chris, you know, I really believe that God wants me to be a missionary someday. I've had countless numbers of teens who have come and said, Pastor Chris, I really believe God is calling me into missions work. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But my encouragement to them is this. Stop dreaming about the future. Start being a missionary now. Because God's will begins with salvation. It starts there. And so, Pastor Chris, I really want to know what the will of God is. The will of God is first that a person receive Jesus Christ as Savior and then go out and tell others about Him. It is clear from Scripture. God makes a big deal, obviously, of salvation. But His will also involves sanctification. Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians. Over just a few pages to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm sorry, verse 3, not verse 13. Verse 3 says this, for this is the will of God. Okay, it doesn't get much more obvious than this. This is the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us, linking back to his will, God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. Why? Because he's rejecting the will of God. We just read, this is the will of God. He has given us His Holy Spirit. The message of this particular passage of Scripture is simply this, as it pertains to God's will. It is God's will that we stay away from sexual sin. You say, well, no kidding. Okay, it sounds rather obvious. But how many are the people who are involved in sexual sin of any kind, not just involved in the actual act, but it could be pornography and lust, daily lust, seeing someone and lusting after them, taking in immoral pictures into their minds, maybe daydreaming about an illicit relationship or flirting with that coworker? They're involved in that, and yet what are they saying? I really want to know what God wants for my life. I mean, I really want to know whether God wants me to go do this or go do that. Or whether He wants me to buy the red car or the blue car, as far as a daily decision goes. I really want to know what God wants me to do, yet what are they doing? They're involved in sexual sin. And the Bible makes it extremely clear here that the will of God is not so much about the red car or the blue car, or whether you go to school A or school B, as much as it is about daily holiness and living for Him today. How absurd is it for us to say, God, show me the future, when my present is filled with sin? And He says here in this passage of Scripture, stay away from it. Stay clear. How far? How far should I stay clear of it? Far enough to be sanctified, to be set apart as holy. I told the teens, in fact, the teens could probably quote this illustration as well as I can. I remember years ago, I was in my office and I heard a knock on the door, and a teenager was outside of my door, and he was an older teenager, maybe 11th grade, maybe a senior. He was dating a girl in the youth group. And he came into my office, and he was nervous. He was shaking to some extent, and he had a question for me. And it was very, very serious. He came in and he sat down and he says, Pastor Chris, I really want to know the answer to this. I want to know, in relation to my relationship with me and my girlfriend, I really want to know, how far can we go? What's the Bible say? Now, he's the only one with the guts enough to come to me over 16 years of ministry and ask me that question. But I know for a fact that there have been hundreds who have wondered the exact same thing. And we all wonder that same thing when it comes to sin. How far can I go? How close can I get? And I had the opportunity to instruct him that as a believer, you're asking the wrong question. Because our issue is not how far can I go. If that is my question, then I'm coming at the Christian life from the wrong angle. The angle that God wants me to come at the Christian life and decision making is not how far can I go, but how holy can I be? How holy can I be? Because I don't want to know how close I can get to sin and still be good in God's eyes. There are none righteous. No, not one. So how holy can I be in my new life in Jesus Christ? God, how much can I please you? And the apostle instructs us in this passage of Scripture that it is God's will for you to be set apart and growing. And if you are set, in order to be set apart and growing, sexual sin cannot be part of your ongoing life. He says, control your body. Possess your vessel. Grab hold of it. How do I do that? According to this passage of Scripture, I do that by subduing my fleshly passions. In other words, I am not to live like the Gentiles live. I am to live differently from the rest of the world. See, forgiveness, listen to this, forgiveness in Jesus Christ empowers us never to return to the gutter of sin. Forgiveness says, I pick you up, I take you out, and I place you on solid ground, and you do not have to go back to that gutter again. You don't have to live in that immorality. Subdue your passions. This is the hope of the gospel. The gospel gives us the ability to live in accordance to the will of God. God's will for you is to be set apart and growing. God's will for you specifically is to be growing beyond that which grips the rest of our world. What is it? Immorality. It grips our world. You know this because you see it everywhere you go. What is God's will? God's will begins with salvation. God's will involves sanctification, being set apart and growing. God's will also involves a godly attitude. Stick with me for just a moment here as I mess around. I'm way off. I need help, buddy. No, you're helping me too much. Give me a second. I've got to find where I was. I want 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I don't want 1 Thessalonians 5 because I don't have it on there. Boy, am I messed up here. Everybody turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Titus, what I want is 1 Peter 2, 15. Right there. Just leave it there. And I'm all set then. Thanks. Sorry about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. We read this, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Now, here it is again. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How foolish would it be for someone to say, God, I really know what you want for my life. And when the Bible says this is the will of God, this is it, that we ignore that passage of Scripture. We already know God's will involves salvation. We already know God's will involves sanctification, a setting apart. Part of that sanctification involved in God's will is what we find right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Understanding that God's will is a godly attitude for His followers. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. It doesn't get much clearer than this. God says, this is it. No. I want to know if I should go to Mexico or France. No. God says, this is it. This is the will of God for you. God's will for you is to rejoice. God's will for you is to pray. God's will for you is to give thanks. Show me a rejoicer. Show me a prayer. Show me the thankful. And I'll show you someone who is resting in God's will and not perplexed by it. Question for us. How are you doing in rejoicing? How are you doing in rejoicing? Or is your life filled with complaining? I don't like this. I can't believe they made that decision. What? I wouldn't have done it like that. And griping? I hear this often regarding activities. I don't normally use this word. This is stupid. We hear it often. It's griping. It's complaining. It's criticizing. That'll never work. Even before it's tried. Most likely that person is going to be struggling knowing what God wants them to do. You say, how do you know that? Because they're not being obedient to God's will. God's will says, rejoice always. God's will says, pray. Pray without ceasing. Wednesday nights? Maybe. I might make it out. How about those Tuesday night revival prayer meetings that started last week and continue this week? Little side note. Well, I'm too busy for those. Why would God talk to us any more than He already has if we're not talking to Him? Show me a person who is committed to prayer, and I'll show you a person who is at least resting in the fact that God has a will for them and is striving to be obedient. How thankful are you for what? For everything, according to this passage of Scripture. Simply put, the will of God has much to do with a godly disposition. Salvation, sanctification, a godly attitude. Now, we're to 1 Peter chapter 2. Another component of the will of God is a submissive spirit. The Bible says this, and you may want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says there, it says here, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Submit. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, whether it be to king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God. That by doing good, what is doing good here? It's living in obedience to what you were just commanded to do, submit. That by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In other words, what is the will of God? To submit. To submit. He said, well, wait a minute here. I just wanted to know if God wanted me in Africa or France. I don't want to submit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Bondservants, listen to what it says. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Be obedient with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, here it is, doing the will of God from the heart. Obedience here is submission from the heart. Well, this isn't what I bargained for. This isn't what I wanted. I wanted to know whether God wanted me to get the red car or the blue car. And now I'm being told to submit? That's right, because that's what the will of God is for our lives. I want to move forward. I want to go somewhere. I want to lead. And God says, slow down. Listen. Learn. And submit. There's a lot that could be said about this issue of submission because we all need to learn it. Every single one of us. But let me summarize the scripture's teaching with this statement. God wants to be the kind of citizens in the world who will draw the attention of the world. We need to be different. We need to have the qualities of salt. Salt that permeates in and does its work. And light. Light that is so visible that it draws the attention of all who pass by. And that involves submission, because that kind of living is foreign to a self-exalting world that we live in. You really want to do the will of God? And you say, yes, and I'm saved, and I'm telling others about Jesus Christ, and I'm growing in my sanctification, and I'm working on a godly attitude. Good. How are you doing at submitting? Submitting to those who God has placed in authority over you. This is the will of God for our lives. The will of God also involves suffering. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 says, for it is better, if it is the will of God, it is better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good. And here is such an encouragement to those who follow Jesus Christ and really want to know what His will is, because there are times when doing the will of God, you're going to step back and say, whoa, it was all going really good until the suffering started. But notice what we read here in 1 Peter. He is a faithful creator. Even in the midst of suffering, He is a faithful creator. Pastor Verway, Pastor Sam, and I have all spoken recently on suffering for our Lord. Those messages are online. They're there for your benefit. We understand that suffering takes on many forms. There are times when it is physical. That's the most obvious. There are times when it is financial and relational, occupational, and probably more. But can we say with the apostle, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Can I say, praise be to God, His will involved suffering. I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus. God's will for your life is that you be saved, and that after salvation, we go out and we tell others about this great salvation available in Jesus Christ. God's will for our lives is that we be spirit-filled and sanctified and submissive, and yes, maybe even suffering. It's very clear. Well, yeah, but Pastor Chris, what about college? What about who I'm going to marry? Or where I'm supposed to move? Turn with me, if you will, to the book, to the Psalms. Psalm 37. I believe it was 3 years ago. I've got the tape in my office. Pastor Verway preached a very, very powerful message on Psalm 37. I can get you a copy of that tape if you'd like it. Psalm 37. He preached through this passage of Scripture. And we read here in verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. A couple things here. First of all, when you are delighting in the Lord, what are you doing? When I delight in the Lord, am I not being obedient to what I've been asked to do? And so, as a believer, when I am saved and am then telling someone else about Jesus Christ and delighting in the good news of Jesus Christ, am I not being obedient? Yes, I am. I am obeying as I delight in the Lord. In Psalm 37, we are told to commit. To commit. When I am submissive, as the New Testament tells me, that is the will of God for my life, to be submissive. As I am being submissive, what am I doing? Am I not committing myself to Him? God, listen, I've got a plan for my life, but Your will for me is that I be submissive to those in leadership around me and to You and to Your word. I commit myself to You. We're told here in Psalm 37 that we are to be trusting. Trust also in Him. Doesn't this happen when we are growing in our sanctification? Don't I trust God for growth? God, I can't grow myself. I've got to rely on You to grow me. So think about what this passage is saying. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. In other words, if you are being obedient to the Lord in the areas of sanctification and being spirit-filled and being submissive and even suffering for Him, if you are being obedient to the Lord in the revealed will of God, this is the will of God. I believe that what the Bible teaches us is that we can start making decisions about college and spouse and where I'm going to live and what neighborhood I'm going to be in and whether I'm going to get the blue car or the red car. I can start making decisions and I can rest assured that those decisions are consistent with the will of God. You say, well, isn't that a little bit reckless? No. That's movement. It's living by faith. It's faith in action. So many people sit around and say, well, I'm waiting for this cosmic crane to reach down out of heaven and lift me up and place me in the will of God. When God has revealed to us what His will is all along in Scripture. This is the will of God. You say, but I was looking for... No, you were looking for something outside of His will. You are looking for something that is not yours to look for. God says, this is the will of God. He has revealed it to us, and we need to be obedient to that and then start making choices. You say, why? How can I do that? How do I know that my desire is God's? Because Psalm 37 tells us that. Psalm 37 tells us this. He takes His desire as we delight, as we commit, as we trust. God takes His desire, implants it into our life, into our heart, and He makes them ours. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you what? He's going to give you desire. He's going to say, this is the desire now. You say it's mine? No, it's God's. Because as I live obedient to Him, He gives me that desire. Without obedience, there can be no discernment. I want to know what college to go to. Be obedient. I want to know who to marry. Be obedient. Red car or blue car? Be obedient. As we are obedient, discernment comes. What is discernment? A wise choice. A decision that is based on wisdom. Wisdom comes from obedience to the revealed word of God. Our responsibility is to be completely obedient to what God has revealed to us, trusting the end result to the one who holds the future in His hands. It is not our job to discern the future. It is not our job to know where I'm going to be 5 years from now. It is my responsibility to be obedient to the revealed will of God in the Word of God. It's been given to me already. I say this often to many people, and I try to live it as best I can in my life. My responsibility is to be obedient, 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 and I trust the end result to Him. I don't understand always my obedience. I just know that God says, do this. But God, what about that? No, do this. But God, I think it would turn out better if I... No, do this. Obedience, and I leave the end result to Him. This is what we've been called to do. This is the will of God for our lives. When the Bible says this is the will of God, that's what we are to do. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Father, today this has been basic stuff. As the book of Hebrews says, these are the basics. These are the rudimentary things, the elementary things. These are the things that we should already know, according to the book of Hebrews. But according to Peter, there are times when we need to be reminded. I know there are times when I forget, and I try to go out and I want to know what the future is. The future belongs to You. Would You help me to be obedient and help those in this room to be obedient to the revealed will of God in Scripture to them? Would You help them to do the will of God by being obedient to Scripture? We cannot make discerning decisions in the future without obedience today. And so would You help us, Lord, to respond to Your word? As the ensemble sang, speak, O Lord, work in our hearts and help us to make wise choices based on what You've already told us. This is the will of God. So as Scripture has been given this morning, my prayer is that the Word of God would have done a work in your life. Maybe by confirmation, you say, yes, praise God. That is what I'm doing. But for others, conviction. I'm not being thankful. I'm not praising. I'm not giving thanks for everything. I'm not rejoicing evermore. I'm not taking the gospel out. I'm not being submissive. I'm not willing to suffer. All of these things hinder our walk with the Lord, because we are walking out of step with the will of God. So as the Word of God has done a work in your hearts, you respond to Him this morning in these next few moments of quiet. Father, we ask Your blessing on this day. I pray that the word of God would not return void, that You would help these verses to be an encouragement to some and a conviction to others. Would You help us to live faithfully for You? In Jesus' name, amen. Number 6.